You're listening to SBS News.
COVID-safe preparations are almost complete, but have been disrupted ahead of next week's 76th session of the United Nations General Assembly. World leaders and heads of government are converging on the organization's New York City headquarters for 9 days of speeches and meetings. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says he's contacted the UN Secretary General to inform him of the city's vaccination requirements, which would apply to all leaders at the General Assembly with no exceptions.
We'll have vaccination sites available. Anyone who is not yet vaccinated can get vaccinated. So I reached out to him proactively to say, hey, here are our standards in the city. And we understand the United Nations is a particular organization, has its own rules and its own jurisdiction. But we, you know, I expressed to him how important it was to have continuity with what we're doing in the city, just for the health and welfare of everyone.
But UN Chief Antonio Guterres has diplomatically emphasized that he cannot ask world leaders to show that they have been vaccinated against COVID-19.
We as Secretariat cannot tell a head of state if he's not vaccinated that he cannot enter the United Nations. This also must be understood. I think the overwhelming majority of the delegations will be vaccinated, but of course some have decided not to vaccinate for reasons that we sometimes see, and others come from countries where vaccines are not yet available. This shows how dramatic the inequality is today in relation to vaccination.
Mayor de Blasio has responded to objections from Russia about a specific New York City requirement that only World Health Organization approved COVID-19 vaccines would be accepted. This would mean that Russian President Vladimir Putin cannot attend, as he's vaccinated with the Sputnik V vaccine.
If the Russian ambassador is against it, I'm for it. I have no words for Vladimir Putin and everything else that's come out of Russia, but they have invalidated themselves in so many ways, including trying to disrupt our elections. So if their vaccine isn't good enough, then they should go and use one of the other vaccines.
Meanwhile, the UN's Children Agency is calling for schools around the world to reopen. UNICEF has urged education authorities to reopen schools as soon as possible in countries where millions of students are still not allowed to return to classrooms. A new report from the agency shows schools in about 17 countries remain fully closed, while those in 39 countries remain partially closed. United States resident Emily Goss says school disruptions are really affecting her son's mental health.
A little bit sick, and he's laying in bed with me, and he just looks up at me and he goes, "Mommy, I don't want to die. Am I going to die of COVID?" And I was just like, ah!
The European Union says it will fund a new health preparedness and rapid response agency with $48 billion over the next 6 years. The newly launched agency will be called HERA, which is short for the Health Emergency Preparedness and Response Authority. European Commissioner for Health, Stella Kyriakides, says HERA is expected to be fully operational early next year.
Investing in health is our future. It's an investment into our future. And for this, we will ensure that HERA will have the necessary financial power with 6 billion euro over the next 6 years from the multi-annual financial framework. And this will increase to almost 30 billion if we take into account investment in health security, preparedness, and response through other EU programs. It will increase even more if we consider investments made at the national level and if we leverage the involvement of the private sector in HERA, something which we plan to do.
England has officially launched its COVID-19 booster vaccination campaign, with members of the National Health Service receiving a third dose. Staff at Croydon University Hospital in London say they're feeling confident going into winter after having the booster jabs. Here's maternity support worker Catherine Cargill, followed by sonographer Stella Sebewufu and primary care director Nikki Kanani.
I've been exposed sometimes to the COVID disease, so having a booster is the extra protection that I need.
As a sonographer, we do not have the ability to social distance ourselves whilst working. We have the patients right up close to us, and we are a small team. We need to provide a service, and the only way to maintain it is to ensure that we keep ourselves well and in that way we also protect our patients.
It's really important to get your booster when you're contacted by the NHS because it gives you further protection.
Local health authorities in Italy's Lazio and Rome have also begun administering a third additional dose of COVID-19 vaccines to vulnerable patients. Elsewhere in Italy, workers in the public and private sectors will have to display a health pass to access their workplaces from mid-October, under a decree adopted by Prime Minister Mario Draghi's government. The measures are the first by a major European economy requiring proof of vaccination, a recent negative virus test, or recovery from COVID in the previous 6 months for all categories of workers. And in Washington, D.C., U.S. President Joe Biden has criticized Republican opposition to vaccine requirements.
The governors of Florida and Texas are doing everything they can to undermine the life-saving requirements that I proposed. And some of the same governors attacking me are in states with the strictest vaccine mandates for children attending school in the entire country. For example, in Mississippi, children are required to be vaccinated against measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, hepatitis B, polio, tetanus, and more. These are state requirements. But in the midst of a pandemic that has already taken over 660,000 lives, I proposed requirement for COVID vaccines, and the governor of that state calls it, quote, a tyrannical type move, a tyrannical type move. This is the worst kind of politics.
To Israel, where there is a virtual standstill as the country marks a muted and COVID-safe Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar, also known as the Day of Atonement. And Cuba has launched a massive COVID-19 vaccination campaign for children between the ages of 2 and 10. That's a nurse in Havana vaccinating 2-year-old Lucia Febles and her mother Denise trying to calm her with love and affection. With its Cuban-produced vaccines, the country has become the first nation to immunize such young children. After testing the vaccines in a clinical trial, Cuba's scientific community has approved its use for young children. For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Marcus Megaloconomos, SBS News.